I get the pleasure of introducing Jennifer Clark. Here she goes by Jen. And so she's doing a workshop on transformative writing for survivors. And that's been one of the best ways I know of that I've had as a tool to work through my trauma. So she's going to give us some tools, and I present her. Jen.
Thanks, everybody. Here we go. It's wonderful. Thank you. And I will keep a little timer up here as well. So the first part, when I'm talking a little bit about our why we write as a way of transforming and healing and coming to know and understand ourselves better, we'll go ahead and record that part. I want to spend just a little bit of time on that. I've gotten to spend some time this year at the conference, and I'm so grateful that this workshop is happening at the end, because I'm imagining it could be a useful way to spend some time just starting to metabolize or integrate or start to kind of compost what we've been in for the last couple of days. I'm grateful that you all are here. Thank you. My name is Jen Fox. I run an organization called Writing Ourselves Whole. I'm also a survivor. Writing has been my primary and consistent practice and place of healing and place of belonging for the 2 decades that I've been sort of actively in my own healing space. And I've done other methodologies as well, and writing has kind of been the through line for me. So I come to this work personally and started thinking about, I used it for the first decade or so just individually, and then went to school, went back to school for my MA in Transformative Language Arts, and wanted to think about how writing in community could be of service to survivors. Right on. Can everybody hear me? I'm not using a microphone, and I'm also sitting down because in my practice, the facilitator is part of the circle. But I want you to be able to see me. I'm aware that I'm at a conference. I want you to be able to hear me. So if you can't hear me, just let me know. I also like to kind of move around, and I'm very big with my hand gestures also. Let me know if that feels a little, don't like it, and I can work to bring that in, because sometimes I can feel very big and assertive, and it's mostly that sometimes I'm so committed to words, and yet there's so much that is outside of what language can do. right on. So I had the opportunity to be at the open mic last night, which was right here in this room, and I got a sense, which is not surprising to me, of how much, right, whenever you have a gathering of survivors, you have a gathering of profound and tremendous creative capacity and resilience. That was my experience when I was here a couple of years ago as well, and facilitated a writing group here, that we are all humans, right, have tremendous creative capacity, and anyone who has survived trauma has had to use our creativity in order to continue to navigate through our lives, through difficult experiences, and then moving through into the rest of our lives. And I've been thinking a lot recently about these three parts. Whose water am I drinking? These three parts. I got mine. Yours is right here.
Yeah.
These three parts of the practice that I've been thinking a lot about. The first is story, voice, and witness, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I should watch my clock for a minute. Sorry about that. The second is creative instinct and creative intuition, and the third part has to do with kindness and generosity. These are the things I talk about most consistently when I talk about why why a free writing practice can be a transformative process for survivors.
So what I was talking about just a moment ago was this thing about thinking about creative instinct and our tremendous creativity as survivors, right? I have a couple of thoughts about how we engage with our creativity, right? The first part is that, of course, we have to be creative in order to survive. And at the same time, there's a lot of our intuition and our instinct that we can't listen to, that we have to kind of shut down and shut away from. And my experience was that I felt profoundly disconnected from my creative, my intuition. I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust my body. I didn't trust the messages that I was getting from my body. I didn't trust, and I couldn't hear that little inner voice that I heard, as I heard it described, that wants to help me. I didn't believe that there was a part of me that had that wisdom. I didn't believe that. And it's been in the last few years, after quite a few years of just sort of being in the healing practice, that I began to feel more of a connection with that inner voice, with that sense of my creative capacity, my creative self. And so one of the things that I talk about a lot in my writing groups is that I want to encourage us as much as possible to write whatever it is that comes up in us to write in response to a prompt, right? So free writing practice, folks, we'll talk about just going, dropping your pen onto the page and starting to write, and not stop, and not censoring ourselves, and not, even if it means I'm going to destroy this writing when it's done, because I've written something that can't be said. Sometimes that needs to happen. Right, but if it's as much as possible, letting the words flow. I had to learn to let myself write things that didn't make sense, write things that were not words, right? I had to let myself learn to rant. I had to learn to let myself write metaphors that didn't make immediate linear sense. I loved Annie Rose in your talk just a moment ago, this thinking about vital metaphor versus kind of limp metaphor. There would be ways of describing my experience that would come up for me that I didn't, that were so electric for me that I couldn't explain them linearly. Right? But I just had to go ahead and let myself write it, and that way to trust again that voice in me, this thing, and then through doing that, through going ahead and just writing whatever it was that wanted to be written, I began to learn things about myself. I would write things that were surprising to me, right? And I began to trust and rebuild that relationship with my creative self. I'm going to listen to you. And that takes time, and it takes practice. So that's one of the things I talk about in terms of creatives. The story, voice, and witness part is the part I want to practice here today. I want to try this on. Some of you may have written in... Some of you may have written in a group before, and some of you may only have written on your own. In my experience, it can be profoundly transformative when we are survivors to write in a group of peers, right? Whether or not we choose to share our work, right? I don't know. I'm bouncing. I like to perch and be a little cat-like. So the first part of this three, yes?
I was just wondering, in the group writing, are you saying that writing and then sharing that as for a group experience kind of thing?
Yes, I am saying that. Although sometimes when we write together in a group, one of the most powerful things to do is to choose not to read. Right? That we can decide. So let me talk about that in a second.
Okay.
So the first part of this this three triune, three-way business that I've come up with here is this idea of story. Finding story for our experience. Finding language for our experience. Finding ways to describe what we were never meant to describe. Right? And sometimes in my experience, it's been quite difficult to do that linearly, to try to sit down and write something from beginning to end. In the handout I gave you at the end there, I was reminded of Emily Dickinson's poem, which begins, "Tell all the truth, but tell it slant." You all may have
heard this before. And by slant, she means a little coming in from the side, right? Not maybe coming at it directly. It's been hard for me to try to write my story as testimony, for example. I get really frozen because I get stuck in somebody else's voice saying, it didn't go like that, no, it didn't go like that. But then you forgot about all this other stuff. And then my pen gets stuck. So I write in metaphor. I write little small pieces. I write in 20-minute blocks, right? And little by little, I begin to let the story out. And I think for many of us who have experienced trauma, you may find this as well. My trauma memory has been that the memories kind of float around. They're not really rooted in the linear timeline for me. It's really hard for me to place, for example, specific things happening in specific times. I have to really work to go back and research when would that have happened, right? So if I can let myself write it piecemeal, then I begin to have kind of a material that I can quilt together into a larger story and have a sense of the system, you know, this larger system of myself and my history, these pieces. So there's a part of story. Simply, and there's nothing simple about it at all, finding language and putting into words what we have experienced. Then there's the piece of voice. And so in the writing groups, what I invite us to do, if we choose to write a group, after we've written together, I invite folks to read aloud what they've just written. And so there are two gorgeous parts of this. First, you can choose to read if you want to. Second, you can choose not to read if you don't want to. I come from an experience where confession was compelled. And so for me to be able to choose not to read was so fantastic. You know, it's like I get to choose to have whatever relationship with authority or power I want to have. I can choose not to read. And that's wonderful. Like, and that's part of rebuilding that relationship with my creative instinct that says, okay, we're ready to share this. And sometimes it says, I don't think so. Or maybe I want to share it with one person, but I don't want to share it with this group yet. Or maybe I'll share it next week, but I don't want to share it right now. So we can listen to that, and it's okay. If we do decide to read, what happens is, I think of it as moving this story up through my body and into my throat. And these are words that I was never meant to speak, right? That were never meant to be spoken. If they were spoken often, they weren't attended to. And so we have this experience of holding in our bodies this story that has often been disembodied. The third part there is witness or withness. I think of it sometimes as withness also. That this story, if we choose to share it, and when we choose to share it, gets to be held, gets to be witnessed. So that self who experienced this piece of story, whether I'm writing a poem, whether it's a character that I'm working with, whether I'm working on my story through fiction, whether I'm working in memoir, that piece of story that occurred in isolation and was meant to be shunted off and never known gets to be held in community. It's amazing. And it can also be really scary, and it can be so tender to trust that the community is going to be able to hold this piece, right? The other thing that happens in this part of witness or withness is that we as survivors get to provide witness or withness to others. And sometimes in that isolation, I have felt like this sense of not belonging, this sense of not being of use, this sense of not being able to participate in the human community, not being welcome in the human community. And so not only do I get to invite others to witness these pieces of story that have been isolated, but I get to be part of that process. I get to be of use in that way, which can also be tremendously healing. Which moves into this idea of kindness and generosity. I just did an interview with she's a student at the Pacific School of Religion. She's studying to be a minister. There's a name for that. It's ministerious. What's his name? Thank you. She's so ministerious. And she's doing some work around working with trauma survivors. And she noticed that I talked a lot about how powerful it was to be able to offer kindness and generosity in our workshops. And that when we are in group together, if we choose to read aloud what we've just written, what we will receive from each other is positive feedback about our work. We get to hear from each other only what's strong, what stays with us, what's powerful for us about the writing, what we liked. We talk about what we liked, right? And that, first of all, it's an incredible way to develop your writing, which I'm not even going to necessarily get into that because it's sort of outside the scope of this workshop. There's an idea in workshopping in front of the writing community that you can only develop your work if you tear it apart. Mm-hmm. I don't happen to subscribe to that idea. And I've watched folks really blossom and develop their work tremendously when they're in a space where they're received with generosity and encouragement. But the part I want to talk about here is the way that many of us lived in, and I came out of a home with my abuser that was profoundly unkind. It was profoundly unkind, and I was trained into unkindness. And that was how I was meant to be in the world, was from an unkind place. And add that to the fact that my experience of mainstream American society is that it's quite competitive and individualistic. The way that we're supposed to be in relationship with each other is a little bit of competition, right? I like you, but I kind of want to make sure I'm always on top, right? So in this, because I want to keep moving up, right? Because it's all about the hierarchies. And in this space, we get to shift that. We get to offer each other profoundly kind and generous and honest and authentic feedback. We get to see how beautiful it is to say what we like, how useful it is to say what we like. And we get to practice receiving that from others with no ulterior motive, right? That folks can say something kind and generous about our work and that it's not tied to anything negative, right? My experience was that somebody would say something kind to me and that right behind that was some expectation that I would pay them for that, right? That was my experience. That I'm not supposed, I can't really believe it. So what we get to do is practice believing it. Practice that our work has an impact on people, and that it has merit. We do, and we learn from each other different ways of articulating. We learn from each other different ways of different metaphors, different ways of visioning this way of living into long-term survival, and we can take on those. We can try that on. I never thought about that way before. Suddenly, our lenses broaden, right? So we get to do this amazing kind of cross-pollination. I think that all of you have really strong ideas about why writing can be a useful practice for survivors. And I think this would be, I would love to have some conversation with you all at the end of the group. Any questions right now? I want us to have some time to write. I want to try this practice on. Ouch.
I used to be able to do that a lot better when I was
young. Okay.
So we have about an hour.
Oh, and you know, the other part of my title has to do with transformative writing for survivors and for those who love us, right? My experience has been that there are groups and support spaces available for survivors. Certainly not nearly as many as I wish that there were, but many more than those that are available for partners, for families, for friends, to know where and to have a space to process also how they're feeling, what it's like for them to hold space, what it's like for them to hold these feelings of fear or nervousness or anger, right? And so writing can also be a space for them, right, to especially in a peer community, to be able to give voice to these pieces that maybe they're afraid of saying, so that we can all be able to articulate the things that aren't meant to be spoken, right? Articulate the things that we're supposed to kind of keep shut down, keep quiet, and so that also the survivor can live in a situation where we're not. People around us aren't always walking on eggshells, right? That as much as possible we kind of move. So they have a place to kind of process their feelings, their concerns, their panics. And so that also, I envision, I would someday love to do a writing group with couples, a space where we can, and we'll kind of try on this process, where folks can write about what they're experiencing and get to receive each other, not as survivor and non-survivor, but as tremendously resilient, creative beings, and mm-hmm. first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And then that survivor is there as well, or partner is there as well, but that first and foremost, we're meeting each other as in our just profound creative resilience and genius, which is a lovely shift. So, all right, those are my pieces. Here are my caveats. First and foremost, we have about an hour. I want us to have a chance to try on a couple of writing exercises. I've brought exercises that are not intended to have us kind of drop in really deep. I'm conscious of the fact that we're in a we're at a conference, right? And I have a lot of kind of stuff turned up after this weekend. Folks might have a lot of stuff turned up. When I was asked to think about a kind of trigger level for this space, I said 2 to 5. And my thinking about the trigger level for this workshop is that it really depends on where you go in your own writing and how you might hold other folks, what they write and what they offer into the room. So I really want to invite you to take care of yourself in your own writing. Take care of yourself in kind of how deep you want to go. If folks write something and you're not feeling comfortable reading it out in the room, I can be available after. If you think you would like to read it, I can be available to listen one-on-one. And you also might check in with somebody else also. If you've got a friend in the room or kind of peer folks in the room, if you'd rather kind of check in and read one-on-one. That's beautiful. Yes.
So just for the description for all people, 2 to 5, what's high?
Exactly. Well, what they
mean, are you talking 10? So like 5 meaning?
I think 10
was that level, or
no. I'm going to invite you to write exactly what wants to be written. As for each person, thank you so much for clarifying that. I'm going to invite you to go wherever you want to go in your own writing. Yes. So don't feel I need to kind of keep it at a yes. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's helpful. Good. Yeah. Thinking of other comments. How we hold the writing. How I would generally offer this, I have offered you in your little packet. The first page is kind of an essay or collection of thoughts, might not be an essay yet, about this practice. You've got a poem that I read before you made for me, reading it as our, what they were checking the levels, and a few quotes about writing. You've got some additional exercise ideas and a resource list, and you also have a copy of this of our group practice, how we write together, how we hold our writing space, right? And so I've talked about this a little bit, that I invite you to follow your writing wherever it wants you to go, that sharing is optional, no one should feel at any point compelled to read. That when we're giving feedback, we're going to talk about what we like, what stays with us, what's strong for us about the writing. And that when we are talking about the writing, the way that we hold the writing and the way also that we hold distance as we sort of separate between, or keep a separation between this space, which I think of as a writing workshop space, and a therapy group, which this is not intended to. Is that we talk about all the writing the way that we talk about fiction. And I'm holding my hands like this because I think of this process as taking the writing and that the writer puts out into the world, and we hold it in front of us like a work of art, because that's exactly what it is. And we talk about it like a work of art. So we talk, even if many of us are going to draw from our own experience. We may write in the first person, I. We may write in the second person, you. We may write in the third person, he, she, they, right? We may be working on fiction. We may be working on poetry. As listeners and as recipients of this work, we're not going to be concerned about where this material is coming from. We're receiving this as a work of art. We're receiving this as writing, and we're going to stay focused on the writing. So we're going to talk about the writing as the way that we talk about fiction, which means we're going to talk about the characters in the piece, the voice in the piece, okay? So, for example, if I've shared something, and let's say it's in the first person, in giving feedback, they might say, I really liked how you stood up and shouted in that moment, right? And what I'm going to invite us to do is to rephrase that just slightly to say, I really liked how the narrator or how that character stood up and shouted. And this can take a little practice, and it can also seem ridiculous. Like, why do we have to do that? Especially if this is about me telling my story, right? And so one of the things that I think of this as a way that we hold some space for each of us. That you, in that moment, can feel like a pointing finger. And I'm just not even doing it right now because it can feel really intensely pointed at, right? Even if someone is saying something really positive, right, it can still, sometimes I can hear, well, but I didn't really do that. That wasn't my character. Or it didn't really go like that. Suddenly I feel really defensive. And we're not, I don't want to drop us back into that concern, right? I want us to stay focused on this work of art that just emerged into the room. Okay, this can take a little practice, and we're not going to worry about perfection in here, right? We're in a practice, not perfection kind of mode in this space. We're just going to try it on. I'm going to invite us, knowing that folks may come in and out of the room, I'm going to invite us to hold in confidence what's shared in here, okay? That we get to do what we... Also, I'm turning off the microphone before we start writing and reading. We get to do what we want to with our own writing, with other folks' writing. We hold it as a gift. We don't take it out. We don't talk about it. Even if it's to say, oh my God, this person did this amazing piece about this and this and this. We stop at, there was amazing writing in that room, right? So we hold this space in confidence, okay? And take care of yourself. The safe room is right behind us, right around the corner. So folks would rather go and spend some time writing in color and crayon, use this time for that, okay? Any questions? We could maybe actually start writing. Okay.
Wonderful.